Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. You can actually hear me this week. Thanks a lot, Trevor, for cutting me out of last week's show.
Yeah, he found out, Scott. He found out.
Yeah.
I know we tried to get away with it, but...
We did.
He found out.
And thank goodness Twitter came to my rescue. People were so disappointed the audio was bad and they couldn't hear me. They were distraught. They said they were going to unsubscribe because of it.
Well, there's a reason why we said, you know, Mark, listen, I've already listened to last week's podcast. It was awesome. No need for you to listen to it. Quality control. We're good to go.
Actually, most people were like, this is the best thing you could possibly do on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cook out of
my,
it.
My email inbox was flooded with kudos and
congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when you guys read about me floating underneath the skyway, y'all are going to feel bad for picking on me on Twitter, bullying me.
Anyway, just go home and watch It's a Wonderful Life, Mark. It'll all work out.
It ain't a wonderful life, especially for Dirt Cutter and this Buccaneer.
There's
team.
A transition.
Nice.
Like, nice. That's good.
Yeah. Not bad.
It's really not a wonderful life, though.
No, it's an awful... Actually, you know what? That's just
he
not true.
He gets paid millions of dollars to
please,
answer questions.
Scott, pay me $5 million. Please fire
somebody,
me.
Somebody actually
please,
said that
I beg
on,
you.
On Twitter a couple of weeks ago, they're like, if they offered you, people do this all the time. They're like, oh, like you should be the head coach. One, no, I shouldn't. I'm just a guy who writes an article every week that I have time to point out. They've got to come up with game plan and stuff. But anyways, he said, if they offered you the head coach job, would you take it? And I said, not a lot of jobs I wouldn't take for $5 million a year. I'm going to be quite honest with you.
Yep.
You're going to be honest.
Adult porn star?
I would for $5
million? For $5
million?
Wow. That's like top of the
game
right
there.
Well,
there's a caveat to that.
Whoa. Anyways, let's...
I still would for $5 million.
Okay. All right.
It's $5
million. Let's say this, though. I mean, Jeff Jagodzinski showed how to quickly make an exit after getting hired. So
that was,
I would just follow the Jeff Jagodzinski. I would be the head coach, and then I would start submitting plays for the playbook, one play at a time, to produce a pamphlet in the offseason. That's actually what happened, Buccaneer fans. If you wondered what happened to Jeff Jagodzinski, who was Raheem Morris's original offensive coordinator.
Didn't make it to
I'm not
going to
lie. I didn't know that name, what you just said.
He was the Boston College head coach before.
Okay, sure. But I didn't know if you were talking about a football person or an adult film star. Because that an alliteration name, I didn't know who it was. And I was like,
okay.
What's his last name again?
Jagodzinski.
Jagodzinski.
Calm down. Could be. Calm down.
Yeah. Okay. But anyways, no, that's what I would do. I would be the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and then do
absolutely.
And then just be
so
incompetent
starts.
That I would be fired immediately and then just collect a check.
Right.
People say we do that at Pewter Report. We're incompetent daily anyway. So unfortunately,
more about you than me.
And unfortunately, no one's firing me and continuing to pay me. I'm pretty sure if I get fired, I think my paycheck stops.
Yeah, I think that's it, actually.
Yeah,
I don't think
that's true.
I don't believe our contracts are fully guaranteed here at PewterReport.com. But
interesting foreshadowing there, Mark.
No. All right, so
I actually felt bad for Dirk in this Ravens game.
Oh my gosh,
I actually did.
He's turned into one of those millennial bleeding
in
heart liberal.
Way?
Because
did
I
you want to hold him?
There were so many opportunities that should have gone their way that just didn't. Like it was literally the players not executing. I mean, come on. Even at the end of the game, the third and one, you run the ball.
Yeah.
That was the right call. They'd done it all day, and they just screwed up.
Yeah.
The very
beginning
Ryan of the game.
Ryan Jensen screwed up. Mr. ex-Baltimore Raven, this team, captain.
Somebody just screwed up. Look, first pass of the game.
That's
a touchdown.
Yes.
Yep.
That changes the entire game.
Yeah.
And Chris Godwin just straight up drops it.
Yeah.
Mike not getting called for the pick play. That's another one. There were
Riley
so many.
Riley Bullitt dropping a pick.
Right. So Riley Bullitt dropping the pick.
Actually, I think Lavonte David's forearm, like, jostled the ball.
Whatever, man. Whatever the reason. But, like, I actually, after this game, I was doing the score segment. Normally, I talk about where they failed, this and that.
Right.
And I was like, the weather screwed them over. And I get that they should have made the Ravens a little bit more uncomfortable, but they had their chances.
Yeah, they did.
They even had the ball where they wanted to at times.
Yes.
They just screwed up. Yeah. The players just screwed up.
But the coach is responsible for
that. I know,
That's
but I feel bad because at the end of the day, Dirk didn't miss any tackles. Dirk didn't miss the block.
Dirk
not
looked
catch it.
More rejected after that game. And maybe it's just the accumulation of the rejected press conferences.
Dejected as opposed to rejected.
Well, he's about to get rejected, but yes, dejected. That's probably the correct term, editor-in-chief. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And
I can't spell it, but I know the right word.
There you go.
Go ahead.
You're the assist man. So, it just to me, it just seemed like he is so resigned to getting fired. after the game. That's just how, when I was watching on Buccaneers.com, I know you were there, Trevor, but I don't think there's a lot lost in the video translation. I mean, it just seemed to me that it's just like kind of like, well, hey, you know, we got two more games left.
Look, that's honestly how it's felt, though. That's how it felt at the beginning of the season, or like in the middle of the season. Not the beginning of the season.
Game one.
During the middle of the season, when they were just losing.
We got 15 more of these. 15 more. I don't know.
Just give me to fly fishing in Idaho, man. Just come on.
When they were losing at the middle
of or whatever
in the middle of the season there, he'd go up to the presser. I mean, it'd be even home games, and he'd just be like, ask me whatever you want to ask me. Because the players can't do what I'm telling them to do. Now, again, that falls on him as a coach. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because before the game, the report came out from
Jason Lacaforna,
right? CBS. And he's
Mr. Reliable,
and he said, not exactly, but he's still an insider.
He's probably
so
on
to
something
to,
in this one,
right? Yeah, and
well,
so
I mean,
he said that
Ray Charles could have saw this one coming.
Bucks
but
were
good when Jason for getting it out first,
figuring out contingency plans for a head coach. But then he also said, if Dirk Cutter and Tom Monken get fired, which it appears is going to happen when they clean house, they won't be out of work long. And you know what? He's right.
Yeah.
He's right.
Dirk
and
will be. Dirk's done.
It's no.
Yeah, I guarantee
it
you
is
he's
such
done. He's not going to coach
weird
anymore.
Situation where you look at a guy who you read something like that and you go, hold on now. If this guy is going to get fired and then immediately hired somewhere else, shouldn't that like maybe tell you something about like you firing him? Like, what's up here? But it is clear that whatever he's doing in Tampa Bay is not working.
Yeah,
he can't get across to the players.
I agree.
Can't get them to not screw up.
I think that's a total bullcrap report, by the way.
Well,
I think it's accurate in the sense.
I think it's accurate.
I don't think there's an inside. I don't know that he has an inside source or a league source. I mean, anybody could have written
a good
this
educated
exact,
guess.
That's
yeah.
exactly anybody would write the exact same thing. We've been saying it for the last 5 weeks that Dirk was going to get fired.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, Todd Monken's going to get a job somewhere else. Dirk probably will get a coordinator job somewhere else if he wants to.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying.
Again,
that's
he's saying
fair.
Nothing. He's saying nothing definitive about anything.
Yeah, I think that's fair. The other thing that I when I look at this situation is, and I've just covered this team for a long time.
I
went up to Gerald today, Gerald McCoy, in the locker room, and he looked at me, I looked at him, and I just said, we've been here in this situation way too many times, haven't we? And he just kind of like nodded his head, like, man.
Then he punched you?
No,
but then helped you up.
No, he didn't punch me. There was no physical assault or anything.
He doesn't like you.
I think that was earlier in the year. I think we've gotten past that.
I think that's like every year for the last, since he's been here. He blocks us on Twitter and then unblocks us.
I think we're still blocked.
Yeah, we're still blocked. Yeah, I'm not.
Not
you
that
are.
I care, but okay, well, that's fine.
At the poker tournament, he wasn't even going to sit at the table with
me. True.
He literally
that's
said
true,
he is.
Yeah.
Nah, man.
Well,
not a few reports
that's
here.
When he was really
you got to go.
Anti-Scott
I was like,
Reynolds.
What? He goes, you got to go.
Yeah.
I said, where do I got to go, Gerald? This is where they sat me at. He goes, nah, not with Peter Report.
Yeah.
I said, no, you're thinking of Scott Reynolds. He's like, oh, yeah, you can stay.
It's true. That's
true
a true story. I know.
Very true.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, Gerald and I, we've been doing this a long time together, and we've kind of smoothed things over without even having the real smooth things over conversation.
You've got more fourth quarter sacks than he does. Go ahead.
No, that's not true.
Just
Mark.
Kidding.
My,
just appeasing the
my
Gerald,
lone sack
Gerald
at Shawnee Mission
out there.
South High School was in second quarter, not fourth. So
okay.
It was a damn good sack, though. I clotheslined the shit out of this kid.
Did you dance afterwards?
No, I was in a state of disbelief.
You couldn't believe
he made
a tackle.
The only sack I had, I couldn't believe
that I'd
gone for.
I've never been here before, so I can't.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that and a blocked punt were my only plays of note.
Technically, you were offsides on that play.
I was not.
Just like Rudy was.
No,
but Rudy was offsides.
But that's how I got
the finger.
Go back
and watch
that's how I got
the finger. Rudy's offsides.
Yeah, Rudy was, but I was not. That's how I got the finger.
That was your blocked punt.
That was my blocked punt.
Okay.
Completely jacked up my finger.
Okay.
We're just going to spend the
rest
of the
make a point about
telling
Gerald.
Bad football stories of our high school career.
I didn't have any. My mom thought I was too small. I would have died. There you go. On to you guys.
Well, I mean, you did collapse a lung lifting weights one day.
This is
I mean,
true.
You are kind of a
this is true.
Girly man.
He's not as scrawny as he was, though.
Hold on.
Well, I'm just based on your ankles.
Hold on.
He skips leg day. Who doesn't?
All right. I'm turning. No, your mic's off. Your mic's off. I literally turned his mic
that's
off.
That's awesome.
I
it's just
off.
You and I, Trevor.
Yeah,
this
no,
should be the
let's,
podcast
all right, let's
going
talk
forward.
About
okay. So, now, my point, though, was...
I'll fight you, Trevor Sikkema. I will fight you.
Oh, my gosh.
Cook. I will fight you.
Oh, we're back
you.
On this?
I will punch...
We're back on
I,
this?
I Let's set up a date.
They didn't even fight. At, who did you want to fight last year?
They were... They didn't want to fight me.
Who do you want to
Jude
fight?
Jude Adjibrima.
Oh, yeah, it was Jude. Yeah. You didn't even fight Jude.
No, he ran Jude out of town, right?
Jude
right,
all
Mark?
Of a sudden got a mystery leg injury.
Yeah.
Retired from football.
Never to be seen from. Exactly. Heard from again.
How do you all know right, it? Make the Gerald point.
I forgot the Gerald point now, man. I'm 46 years old. No, but I will say this about, okay, here's the point. The point is I've covered this team for a long time. I've seen coaches take the identity I'm sorry, players, teams, take the identities of the head coach. Yeah. Tony Dungy was stoic, and he had resolve about him. It was like, hey, I know I'm starting off my career 1-7, but we're going to keep doing this, we're going to break through. And it's that type of resolve that...
Not a bad Tony Dungy.
That ended
okay.
up...
Yeah, it's not bad.
Four. That's how Tony laughed. Oh, Trevor. No, but that's the resolve that the Buccaneers had. God. There were years, Mark, when you saw this, where... And I don't know if you were born yet, Trevor, but there were years where the Buccaneers would limp into the December, and they'd make this December run, and they'd get into the playoffs under him because they had this resolve. It's like
and they did leg day, but go ahead.
What?
They didn't skip leg day.
That's true.
Why.
They okay. didn't.
It's literally how I collapsed my lungs.
With,
so.
With John Gruden, was so intense that like the season was either going to be like 11-5 or 5-11. Mm-hmm. And he would get you on board the train. Now, the problem is if the train jumped the track, he could not get the train back on. Mm-hmm. It was like a lost season. Hmm. But it was like, you know, playoffs.
You're giving
bust.
Raiders fans hope right now. Well, I'm going to tag Raiders fans in this podcast.
You got 10 years, Oakland fans. There's going to be a couple good ones in
there. Yeah, right,
hold on, real quick.
So they should be
Does he last
year?
The 10 years?
No.
Thank
no,
you.
No. I don't
Thank
know that he's alive in 10 years.
Okay. Wow.
Oh, well, I'm buying green bananas.
So somebody got a hit on him?
John
All right.
Gruden.
Even so, if he's dead, they still got to pay him.
So then the Buccaneers go from John Gruden to Raheem Morris. And Raheem Morris was full of bluster and.
Youngry.
Yeah, the Youngry Buccaneers. Full of false confidence and bluster and bravado. And
That's
and
not nice.
When they were exposed in 2011, it's like they lost, what, 10 straight games?
10 straight.
You know, Shiano's teams were so pensive because he was such a tight ass on the sidelines.
He was wound tighter than Dick's hat band.
So tight that his teams played like that. And I think with Dirk Koetter, there just isn't resolve. And I see it in the Buccaneer locker room mirrors his press conferences. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody just shot my dog. Like the world is dying. There just isn't that resolve. I would love, and I think I said this before in a podcast, I would have loved to have seen Dirk Koetter just come up after this game and say, you know what, yeah, we lost today. Y'all saw the reasons why. But damn it, we're going to Dallas. And I just told the guys in the locker room, we're going to Dallas, and we're going to kick the Cowboys' ass.
Yeah.
And we're doing this. I just don't see that resolve from Dirk Koetter.
There are a lot of coaches
and,
that aren't
the
like
players,
that.
Huh?
There are a lot of coaches that aren't like that.
I understand that.
But they're often the ones that don't stick around. So I'm
yes.
No, and I almost said this last night. Okay, so you remember how the Eagles last year, they did that whole like underdog thing? Like they
yes.
wore those like dog masks
right.
because like the whole identity of the team,
yes,
they like
was the
all
underdog.
Took
yes.
it. And that was like their attitude and their coaches fed into it and guess
right.
what? They made a Super Bowl run.
Yes.
They won the Super Bowl. Now they have like some other thing where they're doing like this like ski mask thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And again, like it's just I watched them do it and it's almost like man, it's got to be fun right now to be a Philly fan. And I know that's sacrilegious for Bucks fans to hear, but
yeah,
just like watching
him,
another team embrace an identity like that. Like the Colts
yeah.
had the same thing in their locker room. They were going crazy and stuff.
Right.
And we've seen, you know, inside the locker room when the Rams do it, how McVay
yeah.
gets his guys focused and pumped up. But it just I'm just
kinda
saying
like
all this to totally agree with you that
right.
it will take the identity of the head coach.
Yes, it will. And the thing too, and we saw with the
that's why the Bengals ain't going crap.
Right. And you saw that with John Harbaugh a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
When he did the whole good thing that sent you know
right.
it got sent around
yeah.
the Twitter world and all that. But the thing with Dirk is I just don't see that. We see when there's a victory locker room, we see Buccaneers.com is real quick to throw that out there with the cameras on what was said and all
mm-hmm.
the game balls passed
right.
out and all that. But we don't know what that's like inside a losing locker room with Dirk Koetter.
Right.
They don't put that up on Buccaneers.com or on Twitter for us
right.
to see.
Right.
And unfortunately, there's more of those than there are the happy Victory Monday, you know, type of locker room speeches that he's been given over wins, because there hasn't been enough
Dirk
wins.
Dirk just walks in and just walks up to everybody with the middle finger.
No, I think what we see
just to
from
Chris
Dirk
Godwin
Cutter
this week,
yeah,
just to him
is what we see at the podium, which is dejection, rejection, just doom and gloom,
ejection.
He's going to get ejected.
There's
because of it.
Other ejections I could think of. Yeah. Interjections.
Yes.
Yeah. Probably a few interjections in the sentence.
Projections. So when people talk about the culture needing
projecting the
changed,
next loss, yeah.
When you talk about the attitude needing to be adjusted here in Tampa, I see this, and the locker room is as solemn as Dirk's press conference
and
is, and there's got to be some resolve.
So when people talk about it, and people have asked me, and I'm sure they've asked you guys a ton, like, who are your top head coaching candidates? Like, who are the guys that if they get rid of Dirk Cutter, a lot of times the reason why people are asking or saying when they get rid of Dirk Cutter, who are those guys? And I have
Jim McElwain.
I have tons of people. Oh, boy.
that would throw him off.
Wow. Yeah. No, that really did throw me off. I was on a roll
Tagger.
There. Worse. It's got to be the next guy that they bring in. That's the most important thing, what you just said right there. Because there are a lot of people who talk about Lincoln Riley or Matt LaFleur or some people like Chris Richard.
Right.
Or Jimbo Fisher.
And like things like even I guess like other coaches, head coaches around the NFL or whatever. And they bring up all these guys' names. And the number one thing to me when people ask me this that I would say is, what kind of culture are they going to bring? Because right now the Buccaneers haven't had a real actual culture since John Gruden left.
Yeah.
It's just been this wishy-washy. Right. We're going to try one side of the spectrum or the other. These guys don't really know what they're doing. That's why, honestly, people have talked about, like, brought up Mike McCarthy's name and said, like, oh, I'd never want him. Look at the last couple of years in the Packers. But, like, man.
Guess who has a better winning percentage than Sean Payton?
Mike McCarthy.
Yes.
Like, McCarthy set up something in Green Bay. Like, for the early parts of the year,
I still don't know how much of that is Aaron Rodgers and how much of that is Mike McCarthy.
Well, how much is Drew Brees with Sean Payton? I mean, you got to have your quarterback.
No, he was 1-1 with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not just talking about the wins. I am talking about the culture thing there.
Yeah.
With Mike McCarthy.
But there's also a reason why Mike McCarthy was running out of town, though, too.
Well, sure. But
quarterback's an asshole.
Okay, here's another thing. The number one guy on my list would be John Harbaugh.
Yes, without a doubt.
He would be my number one guy. 5 weeks ago, the Ravens were talking about parting ways with him, right?
Yes.
And so, like, you just say right there, there's a reason why they ran out of town. I understand that, too. But, like, Harbaugh, 5 weeks ago, was maybe going to get canned by the Ravens. We were all like, what? Okay, if he is, you can just come down to Tampa right now if you want.
I wrote about it in the, the two-point conversion
yesterday. That's – whoever they get, I agree with you, and I'm just echoing this point, is it's got to be somebody – who knows what they're doing.
Yeah. You know what? I don't necessarily mind a retread guy. And I say that because look at a guy like Andy Reid.
That's right.
I mean, a perfect example of a guy. Now he hasn't won a Super Bowl in Kansas City. But
who
he's,
cares, man?
But look what he's
didn't
done.
He won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia. And he had awesome teams in Philadelphia.
So, I mean, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world to bring in a guy.
There's so much more that goes into
but he has
Super
to have
Bowl,
proven
right?
success in the past. You can't just bring in a guy who was a Jeff Fisher, a 7-9 kind of guy.
Right.
Although Jeff
Fisher that would be it.
Did go to a Super
Bowl.
But you understand what I'm saying. You can't be the Rams Jeff Fisher guy.
Because,
you know
I mean, did you watch All or Nothing when it was, or Hard Knocks when Jeff Fisher was there with the Rams?
Yes.
So, I mean, like, you could just see.
With Archie Bunker.
Yeah.
You could just see that.
I'm start calling Trevor Meehan.
Oh, Archie.
How different it was when Jeff Fisher was in there.
Yeah.
It just, the players wouldn't believe
it. It was 7-9.
Right.
Like,
it was,
he walked in the door and is basically, hi guys, I'm 7-9. The head
actually,
coach of the Rams.
One of the things he said in the very first episode is, I'm not effing going 7-9.
Yeah.
And then he actually went worse and got fired.
Yeah.
But. I'm with you there. I'm okay with a retread guy. I'm okay with a guy with experience,
you know,
but it's got
to
be the right
doesn't
guy.
Even have to be high energy, because when I think of resolve, Tony Dungy is not a high energy guy.
Neither
but
is
he had plenty
Andy
of resolve.
Reed, per
no.
Se.
Yeah, and Bill
right.
Belichick. The thing I love about Bill Belichick, and I know the people up there in
his sweatshirts
in Boston.
Cut off sleeves?
Well, maybe a little bit. But the thing is, the reporters up there, you know, they've had so much winning and so much Bill Belichick they've had to put up with because they're winning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, there are some writers up there that just can't wait for the wheels to fall off the wagon. And maybe it's happening this year, but they just can't wait to, like,
and you know,
to dig into that guy. But the thing about Bill Belichick is he'll sit there, and in games where like, and I don't watch all of the Bill Belichick press conferences. I've seen enough to sit there and say that, you know, there's times where he literally walks in and does not want to talk about what just happened because he's already on to the next week.
Right.
He's like, right. He's like, we've already talked about that.
He's even got less use for the media than
we're on to Buffalo. You know, so, we're on to Buffalo. But to me, that shows the resolve. It's like, man, I'm already on to next week. We're already fired up about playing next week, and I know you guys have to talk about what just happened.
But I'm going to shoot you down.
We've talked about it. I'm going to shoot you down, but we're already on to next week.
Yeah.
And I just wish that I saw more of that from Dirk Koetter, because I think he's done some good things here, but it's not him.
It's not his personality, and faking it would be worse.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'd like to see from Dirk Koetter.
What do you want to see from Dirk Koetter?
When Dirk Koetter leaves here, he goes to T.A. Mahoney's and he gets his boat patched.
He's
on a sinking
ship
right now.
Goes into T.A. Mahoney's and sends us a picture of him at T.A. Mahoney's. Do we have to give him the Quan Alexander signed?
Yes, he will get
thing?
The Quan Alexander signed 8x10.
Okay.
And I'm not even going to say what Quan would write on the photo. I'm going to leave that out.
So we're talking about a sinking ship here for Dirk Koetter.
Dirk Koetter. But
going into T.A. Mahoney's to get the sinking ship repaired.
Of course, fixed, because they have everything you need. If you have a dinghy, if you have a yacht, anything in between, T.A. Mahoney's
John Boat?
Can fix it. John Boat.
Okay.
Or a Steve Boat.
Okay.
Okay? Any type of boat you got, T.A. Mahoney's can fix it. If you want to do it yourself, that's another great thing about T.A. Mahoney's. You can go in there. You can buy the materials needed to patch or repair your boat. More importantly, though, guys, if you're out on the water, you've got to be safety equipped with all of the things that the Game Commission and the Marine Patrol expect you to have, including all of your life vests, one for each person on board, a sound-making device.
Where can I find everything that you're talking about, though, like under one roof?
My garage or T.A. Mahoney's.
There you go.
They're at 50th Street in Animo. They've been in business since 1948, back when boats were in black and white. That's how long it's been. Back then,
that's
everything
amazing.
Was just in black and white.
I didn't realize
and
boats were only black and white.
And then they were still in business in the 60s when color came out.
Okay.
When the world turned into color.
And people started painting their boats.
Yes, they started painting their boats, and you could tell that they were painted because they weren't black and white anymore.
Right.
T.A. Mahoney's, 50th Street and Adamo. Go check them out. See Mark, see Matt, see Mike, see Matt's, I mean, Mark's mom and Mike's wife. She's paying the bills there. Go knock on the business office
window. Great
family
business.
She'll say hi. Great family business. That's the kind of business you want to do business with. They do business with us here at Pewter Report, and we appreciate them. And the offer is still out there. If you go into T.A. Mahoney's and you take a selfie and you put it in, send it to us on Twitter, you will get a signed 8x10 Quan Alexander photo.
Makes a great holiday gift.
Absolutely.
It does.
It really does. All right, so we've forgotten about Baltimore. We're on to Dallas.
We're on to Dallas.
We're not really going to talk about Dallas a whole lot until next week.
Just got shut out.
By the Colts.
By the Colts.
Hell, we're the Dallas Cowboys. We are in the NFC East first place.
And guess how many touchdowns Andrew Luck threw?
0.0.
They lost 17-0, I think, right? Was it 17?
I think so, yeah.
One of the games was 17. One of them was worse. I know the Giants got shut out by...
That might have been 17-0.
I think that was 17. Yeah. Anyways... They got shut out. Andrew Luck didn't throw a single touchdown. The Cowboys, people need to calm down, okay?
Calm down.
Settle down now. Simmer down.
They still have Dak Prescott.
Yes.
23-0, Trevor.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. All right. Dak Prescott is still the most hot and cold starting quarterback in the NFL, okay?
I'm guessing he's going to be hot next Sunday, though.
Maybe.
I'm just thinking.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, look, unfortunately... The Bucs have a chance to really screw up a good draft position here.
Yeah, they do.
By winning the game. Yep. By the way, just touching on this real quick. Because
they're not going to win, Trevor.
It's not a Bucs podcast, but how stupid are the 49ers for winning last week?
Well.
They went from 1-4.
Yeah.
You went from Nick Bosa to, oh, God, I don't know.
Right.
they were bad. So anyways, I mean, people have asked me about that, too. They're like, should I be rooting for the Bucs to win or lose?
It depends.
You can
do you want
root
7-9 or do
you
want,
as a fan.
You have to root to
if
win.
You want Dirk Koetter to stay.
Did you root for Jim McElwain to lose? Serious question.
Yes.
And Will Muschamp.
Yes.
Really?
No, not Muschamp, because I like Muschamp.
Even when they went 4-8.
Yeah.
And lost to Georgia Southern.
Why was he always sweating? Like he walks out of the tunnel on a cold November day, and he's like full-blown sweat.
That kind of guy, you know?
Golly.
A lot of coke.
It's just sweat. Yeah. Before he goes out there, he's pounding the table, hitting the coke.
Oh,
Coke Zero, of course, is what
we're
talking about.
Yeah,
of course. So I unfortunately, it's kind of the same thing. They have a recipe to win. I don't think they will, but
no, they won't. They can, because they continually
watch the Cowboys screw it up to, for the Bucks.
You know, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
If this was game, Philly's Tampa, on a roll now. Shot.
Dallas yeah. got to win.
Yeah,
Dallas has to win.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, this
nobody
is a
thought
game.
Philly was a double digit underdog
right.
against the Rams.
Right,
they beat them. And nobody saw that coming. I also did not see the fact that the Redskins would win a game with Josh Johnson.
No
alone.
Kidding.
Buccaneer legend, Josh Johnson. Sorry, right. I had to mention that there.
Do you know that he was a former Bucs best bet? We actually forecasted his
wow.
selection.
Wow.
And one yes. of the long list of Buccaneer quarterbacks who went on and won Super Bowls elsewhere.
What?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
There's still a chance yet. This year.
Not in Washington.
Probably
so,
not.
So, anyways, Dallas has to beat the Buccaneers. So... You assume they'll give them everything they can, yeah. or
can I just save everybody? Can I just save everybody 3 hours on Sunday, and a lot of travel and money and gas and airplanes?
I'm sitting, on my
yeah.
couch, so
everybody stay here.
Yeah,
Buccaneers
yeah.
stay here.
Bo, you don't even want them to show
no,
up.
There's no need.
Just forfeit.
Just say we're not coming.
But what if they live in Dallas?
Who?
Bucks fans.
There's no Bucks fans in Dallas.
If you're a Bucks fan in Dallas.
You need to
tag us on Twitter.
Come alive on
there's
Twitter.
No and, such thing.
And tell
come
Mark Cook what's up.
It's like saying there's
tell him
fans
that Bucks
in
Nation
there's
is
no
everywhere.
Yeah.
No. No.
Yeah, Eric Delorado.
He doesn't live in Dallas. He lives in Fort Worth.
It's a suburb. It's part of
not
it.
Not the
it's
same.
It's like Tampa St. Pete, right?
Listen,
if you live in Dallas.
Your Honor, did or did he not say Dallas? You're right. Thank you. No further questions.
Well, so anyway, you just don't want people to.
It's not the Dallas-Fort Worth Cowboys.
Well, right. I'm.
This is true.
That's true.
Even though, wait, they're in. Isn't the stadium in Arlington?
I think so.
Okay.
Or at least it used to be.
No, it still is. Yeah, Jerry World's in Arlington.
Okay. Arlington.
Yeah.
Texas.
Never heard of her.
Texas.
Is that where Hank Hill's from?
I don't know.
King of the Hill, most underrated TV show in the history of the world. Scott, I have been thinking about ways that I could earn some money for Christmas because I'm a little broke right now. And
sell more ads on PeterReport.com.
You can bet on the Cowboys.
A jar of cash buried out back.
You can bet on the Cowboys.
If I can find it. If I wanted to turn, say, $500 into $1,000, I don't have any idea how to do that.
Well, if you went to mybookie.ag and signed up and made your initial deposit and used the promo code PeterMark, they're going to double your initial investment.
So I put $500 in, I'll have $1,000?
That's the way it works.
I'm cashing out.
Can't really do
guaranteed
that.
Guaranteed winner.
You got to play. You got to play.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you're buying. You're,
I believe you have to play at least what you put in.
Yeah. Yeah, for
so
sure.
So you just bet $500 on the Cowboys.
There you go.
I mean, that's an easy.
Not sure what the line is on that, but I would imagine the Cowboys are favored.
What if the. All right.
They should be.
All right. All right. We're going to play
a
game.
Scenario.
Okay. Cowboys are favored by 6.
That's tough.
That's not even close.
That's tough.
Not even close.
You're picking the Cowboys?
Oh, hell yes.
Okay.
Okay.
9.
Yes, Cowboys.
Wow. 9?
11.5.
I'm going up to 14. 14.
Oh, you think man. The Bucks are going to lose by 14?
Yeah, I do. At least.
No, because
maybe more.
Dirk Cutter's Buccaneers teams find a way to keep it interesting. Either in the beginning of the season, we talked about this in the press conference today with Dirk. Beginning of the season, it was digging yourself a hole, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then trying to furiously come back and falling typically a field goal short in the second half. Now, after 2 wins against the 49ers and the Panthers, they've flipped the script. Now it's, hey, they're showing up for the first half and either keeping it close yeah. or getting a lead and then just completely forgetting that the second half exists.
3 points in the last 2 games
it's
in the second
awful.
Half for this top-rated Buccaneer
it's just
offense.
It's gross, man.
Yeah. The interesting thing is you
Dirk Cutter needs to start calling plays again. Todd Monken sucks.
You can actually do some first-half betting at mybookie.ag.
I thought he was going to yell at me
yeah,
for the for the question.
Well, he glossed over that real quick.
Can I just say?
I know I tried to like.
That was the yeah. greatest. That was the. Trevor starts asking Dirk if he didn't hear yesterday. So, coach, you know the weather conditions were kind of bad and stuff like that. Who's calling plays? Okay, thank
I
you.
Know.
Yes.
I know.
It was really good.
It was brilliant. I literally you know, laughed out loud.
I was like, because I thought about how I wanted to do it because I didn't want to just ask him.
Right.
Hey, Dirk, who's calling plays? Because, and I was talking with Greg Allman about this before we went in.
Greg Allman's dead.
I said to him, no, the living one.
From the Athletic.
Yeah, from the Athletic.
Sorry.
I
don't
asked
be
him,
hating on Greg Allman now.
I said, who?
Greg's
good.
He's a rambling man.
I was standing there with him and Rick, and I was like, so who's going to ask it? Who's going to ask the question? Who's calling plays? And Greg was like, yeah, it's kind of a sticky situation because it's like, hey, Dirk, you guys didn't really score enough points this week. Who's calling plays? You know, like anytime it's bad.
Was that you or the other guy?
So I think the way I served up the question was I said, Dirk, I know like the weather kind of played a factor, but you know, down the stretch in that second half, was there anything that they were doing adjustment wise that,
right. that was the throwaway
that
question.
You guys didn't the red see herring. and then was it still Todd who was calling the plays? And yes. he immediately was like, yes. Yeah, Todd called the plays, but no, there was nothing. And I was literally just like,
yeah.
Boy, almost got ripped a new one on national television.
Well, I don't think that would have happened because he was in such a state of dejection and rejection.
Yeah, but Dirk, if...
No, you can trigger Dirk. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. Dirk can be triggered. Like, I triggered him last week with the Caleb Benenock question.
Yeah.
You know, and
What's the odds, Scott, if I want to make a bet about Caleb Benenock starting next year at guard?
Not good.
Not good.
Not good at all.
Well, if I wanted to put some money, maybe where
you
some
can
prop
do that
bets.
At mybookie.ag.
Okay,
that's
let's get back to mybookie.ag.
Yep, mybookie.ag. Just to run out the mybookie.ag promo this week. Go to mybookie.ag. They got the best and fastest payouts in the business. They've got a tremendous mobile site that I used back when I had money. I've since exhausted all of my mybookie.ag money on bad and reckless bets this year. But you know what? Damn it, I'm going to be back next year with mybookie.ag. Make it the place to go for your online gambling needs. I've been a mybookie.ag customer for the last couple of years and highly recommend them. Mention the promo code Pewter and get 50% initial deposit when you sign up at mybookie.ag.
I'll check it out. I need money. See that I was going to sell my body on the streets.
You're a little old for that, Mark.
You sure?
I don't know if there's a market.
We talked about
for
adult
that.
Film star.
I don't know that there's a market for what you're selling.
You're going to put in the ad? Or well, you're going to answer?
No, I'm going to answer. I always see them in there, like, you know, are you.
What section are you searching in, dude? Need new tires. Here's how I can give them to you.
Used furniture.
I think the Wieners wanted section. I don't remember. I don't know.
Oh, ballpark section. Franks.
Yes,
yeah, I
exactly.
do that all the time. I try to buy them in bulk, and you know, you just get
like, you know,
all the weird stuff in there.
Yeah, adult
no,
film.
No, I'm. I understand.
Sausage party.
No, we're good here. We're good here.
Oh boy.
All right, so we'll talk about Dallas a little bit more as we get into next week, probably Thursday for the next podcast, Scott.
Yeah, Thursday.
Probably next Thursday.
Yep.
You know, it's 4:00, 4:15, something like that on a Monday as we're taping this podcast.
Yep.
It is almost dinner time, boys.
I'm getting hungry.
I am getting hungry. I just don't know of any place to go good around here, especially when you're craving a burger or salmon or rum cake. Where in the heck can you find anything like that around here?
Ford's Garage, and they've got a tremendous selection of craft beers, a lot of local options to choose from. Yep, Ford's Garage.
What?
With tons of locations all around the state of Florida,
what?
Such as, Trevor, pointing to you.
Dearborn, Michigan.
What?
Not necessarily in Florida, but technically correct. I'm going to say Wesley Chapel, my old stomping grounds. You?
Yeah, I'm a Brandon guy. I take my dog Funyuns all the time. I have a pug named Funyuns. And he's welcome to Ford's Garage.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true. Unless he's a service dog, don't bring your dog into Ford's Garage. They'll probably ask you to leave.
Yep.
However, they have tremendous food, and I'm hungry, and I'm dying for some blackened salmon with, I think I'm going to go with the mashed potatoes and the asparagus again this time. I love asparagus. That's my new thing. I'm an asparagus guy. I had asparagus during the Bucks game yesterday at halftime.
Did you really?
Excellent stuff. Not from Ford's. Made it myself, but I'm going to go to Ford's tonight.
Okay.
And because everyone wants their pee to stink. So eat asparagus and go to Ford's Garage. That is the place to do it. Not just great burgers, not just great asparagus, but they've got more alcohol than even Bucks fans can drink after another loss.
Yes, and it is the season in Tampa Bay.
To get hammered?
Yeah, watching the Buccaneers.
Responsibly.
Sure.
And covering the Buccaneers, too.
Yes.
Not easy on you fans, not easy on us either, especially when the song sounds the same every year. But Ford's Garage is a great place to go. We had a Darius Taylor at the Lakeland location doing a podcast. And
the next thing you know, his wife ends up pregnant. He misses the game yesterday.
The magic that happens
at
Ford's Garage.
Coincidence? I think not.
I know.
Wait, it was not 9 months ago. It was only like 3 weeks ago.
Well, it was a good story.
Or is that the magic of Ford's Garage?
Yeah.
Could be. You're onto something there, man bun.
Yeah. I'll just say this, though. We're going to have some more appearances with Buccaneer players in the offseason of Ford's Garage. More live podcasts that you guys can come out and join us for.
Probably going to go to Dearborn.
Darius Taylor was talked about at the very beginning of the press conference with Dirk Cutter. How did you guys think Dirk was responding to that? Because it took him a second for him to say, well, they didn't have the baby, but he made the decision not to come. Did it sound like he was pissed at Darius for not playing?
Or
yes.
What? You thought
so? I thought he was.
Yes.
I don't know. I didn't get that.
Anytime he says, anytime a coach gives a guy out. Yes, you can.
No, you cannot.
Chris Conte was okay with it.
Okay, well, that was Chris's
decision. It's your job.
Decision.
You have a job. Guess what, Darius? Do you want to support your kid for the next 10 years?
No.
Show up for the football game, because that's how you're going to do it. You're not a Pro Bowl player here.
Hold on. Did Darius Taylor go to college?
Yes.
Where did he go?
Somewhere at FA or FI.
Florida Atlantic.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so we think that because Darius Taylor has gone to college and that he had understudies at a high school, right, and then before that in middle school, and then elementary school before that. At some point in time, he was educated on the mysterious ways of the calendar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm just saying, it's like, if you want to have a kid during football season, there's a couple of months where you can choose to procreate. And if you don't want to have a kid, if you want to have a kid, because football season really is like August through
December. Yeah, but Dirk even said
December.
He had three during football season.
Well, that's Dirk's decision. I'm
that's
just
a
saying.
Terrible decision.
Like, if you want to have a kid during football season, then, like, you know, have sex in the corresponding
bang
months.
In November. You'll be safe.
That's what I'm
you
saying.
You might
also
miss an OTA, but who doesn't want to miss an OTA?
Of course.
Hell, I want to miss an OTA.
Apparently, he wanted to miss Ravens.
I may get pregnant, so I don't have to be here for rookie minicamp.
Do you think Dirk Cutter is going to be pissed off if you miss OTA number 14 or 10 or whatever?
No.
Because you had a child? No, of course.
I mean, he even
not.
Said they had to freaking dress. They only had four linebackers.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It sounded to me like Dirk was pissed
and
that a Darius Taylor missed that game.
That's the one I respect. Dirk will never, he has yet to throw a player under the bus.
Correct.
But he was like my grandmother. She was very subtle in her insults. Not necessarily insults, but she made it known.
Yeah.
You know, and Dirk was like, well, you know, it's everybody's decision. It's a personal decision. And, you know, we only had four linebackers set up. That was kind of scary. And, you know, Riley Bulla, well, you know, he did all he could do. But
I did notice that.
Yeah.
How did Riley do? Well,
again,
you know, he
Dirk
did what
didn't
he
have
could,
a problem with it. Trevor, Dirk would have said, you know what? We tell all our guys.
Yep.
In this situation, that's more important than football.
Yep.
Dirk didn't say that.
Yeah. Or he would have said in this particular situation, hey, Riley Bulla played tremendous.
Right.
I mean, he really was one of our standout players.
We didn't miss a beat with Darius.
That's right. He didn't say that.
It's called reading between the lines, Trevor.
It's, you know.
All right. We talked about Ford.
It's Christmas, Trevor. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Right. Tampa Bay Treve. Is that your thing?
No. It's just Christmas Trey.
Oh, okay.
Instead of tree, you know.
Your name's Trevor. Why do you call yourself Trey? I don't call myself Mar. Hey, Sko. How are you doing, Sko?
Hey, hats off to you for one funny-ass What's Cooking episode. You've had some really good ones this year.
Yeah, he has a funny-ass,
the one
ass,
with Ron
he?
Brait was friggin' tremendous.
I'm going to totally petition for next year to be the Ron Brait show.
It needs to be like a co-host situation.
Cam was great.
What's
Cam,
Cooking with Ron Brait.
And I swear on every Bible in Hillsborough County, we don't plan these things. There's no script to this. I mean, we all kind of ad-lib.
You'd show up and do it.
We just show up and do it.
Yeah.
You know, I might say, hey, is it okay if I ask you about this?
Right.
You know, I don't want to offend anybody, but, you know, like I had to make sure that his mother and father were still living before I asked him the question, why do your parents
Ron
hate you?
Ron was not following the script at all. And if you're wondering who Ron is, it's Cameron.
Yeah,
Cameron Brait.
Or Cameroon, but Cameron. Yeah, he uses the name Ron Brait when he goes out.
Right.
So, ladies, if you're ever at the club, ask for Ron Brait.
Yeah.
Although he has a girlfriend, so don't do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, but no, check it out. What's Cooking? It was one of the better ones, one of my favorite ones. Go check it out on pewterreport.com. We'll have another one on Thursday or Friday this week as well. Not sure who our guest is going
to
be.
You should try to get Gerald McCoy.
We have tried Jameis for all the people that asked. We've tried Ryan Fitzpatrick. We got Ryan Griffin.
Yeah.
At least one of the Ryans.
Well, the funny thing is Trevor, you've seen how Mark flaunts his Jameis Winston, Florida State, I'm an old connection.
You mean the secret
handshake
he and I do?
Yes, exactly. And you don't have enough pull to get him on the podcast other than an impromptu appearance walking down the hall before you guys got kicked out of the hall.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll see what I can do about that. No, this is a true story. This was unfortunate. I asked him back during when he was benched when Fitzpatrick had the job, and I went up to him in open locker room one day. I was like, "Hey, man,
hey, man, I know you're a backup quarterback now, so you got some time.
A lot going on right now, Jameis. Hey. You don't have anything on your mind?
Jameis, we can help you raise your profile around one buck in your place.
I actually
did
say
that. Get you
that
starting job again.
I literally said to him,
appearance of What's Cooking.
Look, man, it's fun. It's lighthearted. People get to know your personality. Jameis straight face said, I don't want to do fun. I don't want to do lighthearted. And everybody already knows my personality.
I just want to win games.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah, that's what he said.
He says, I just got to be better. I just got to go out there. I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be a backup quarterback. No, he didn't say that. But
we just got
to
execute.
We got to execute. That's on me.
Jameis, Merry Christmas. We just got to do better. We just got to execute.
Look, Santa just got to execute. First and foremost, it's on me to execute Christmas a little better.
Santa Claus can't be, you know, turning over presents and stuff. You got to keep him not falling out of his sleigh.
Just the reindeer, man.
By the way, I watched your Channel 8 game last night.
We just got to win games, Jenna.
By the way, Channel 8, we're on Bucks Bonus every Sunday night. Trevor was on last night. We'll actually put that up. We've got a link to do that, so people, if you didn't stay up late last night after the Sunday night football to watch that. Can I tell you how he did?
No, I want to hear it from Trevor.
All right, go ahead. Let's do a self-evaluation.
Wait, I don't know. I didn't watch it yet.
No, but how did
I was there.
You were there. You were in the moment. So yeah. How was it?
Thought it was cold AF.
Okay.
That's what I remember.
All right.
That's about it.
Astrophysics?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He was just cold. I'm
going to roll the day, Andy. You like that?
Plant City Education
cold
right there, man.
Shout out to astrophysics.
AF.
Nice.
Yeah, wow. Duh.
Okay.
First of all, Megan literally said...
Did he have the millennial hoodie on?
Of course. Megan literally said, did he just get off the plane from Afghanistan? He's wearing like an army jacket.
Wow.
Literally an army jacket.
Well, hold on. That would have made it better, would
nice
it not
Gucci
have?
Jacket.
How is that an insult?
He's like an army jacket. Like, you know, he's a soldier. Who are you? Kellen Winslow Jr. now?
I'm on the front
soldier
lines asking Dirk who's called plays.
Yeah, very timidly. And by the way, who called plays? You did your best Greg Allman on that one, by the way.
Listen,
and,
it's called strategy. Have you ever heard of it?
He did good. Trevor, in all seriousness.
Hold on. Did the army jacket match the fatigues? Was it Dan or Annie he was with?
Dan.
Okay. So
Annie doesn't get within 500 feet of him. There's a restraining order.
Okay. So did Dan Lucas from News Channel 8, WFLA, did Dan have on an appropriate-looking military garb to complement what Trevor was wearing?
No.
What was Dan wearing?
He didn't
Dan
get
was
the
wearing
memo.
A professional outfit, a suit, a coat, a tie.
A suit and tie?
And then a nice winter, you know, long black coat.
He doesn't respect the troops.
For the record, Dan hates America. Is that what you're trying to say, Trevor? That's not fair.
I didn't say those words.
No, that's not true.
Wow.
But you were the farthest thing from a troop, by the way. You would not have a beard, and you would not have that fluffy hairdo. In all seriousness, Trevor is really, really good on camera. He's very personable. He comes across well. He's very sure of himself. He tends to ramble on a little bit. But
waiting for the backhand.
Don't we all?
The only thing
I didn't like was not that I didn't like. It was fine, except I totally disagreed. You were sticking up for Jameis Winston, saying he played well.
I thought he was fine. I really did. I know you put him on most disappointing, and Scott, you agreed with
it,
but like, there is only so much Jameis can do. And when it comes to it, it rained for 36 straight hours. Okay,
he put the ball
where it needed to go.
Not on fourth and
everybody
four.
Everybody else
didn't.
Let him
That's
down.
True.
Not on fourth and four. He didn't.
Like,
not in the red zone. Not in the red
Did you
zone.
Watch that
not
play?
On that pass to Mike Evans.
Did you watch the play on fourth and four?
Yeah,
because it was basically right through Godwin's hands.
No, the
Godwin had to dive for it because the guy was playing such tight coverage because they called
the
rub play on man coverage.
As the quarterback,
and
why don't you look to the left where Mike Evans is lined up one on one with a 5'10" quarterback?
I should have gone to the left. That's what he said.
He didn't even look that way.
Whatever. Right.
And not just that.
He didn't look that way. And I still put that on Dirk Cutter and Todd Monken. That's the best.
Whatever.
That's the best.
You're running
Adam Humphries out of the slot on a wheel route when you need 4 yards. Did anybody see that?
Well,
watch that when you watch the coach's film.
It might have been a
terrible play call.
It might have been a clear out for Mike on that, though. I mean, sometimes you got to send somebody deep when you need a couple yards just for the clear out.
He's playing inside and he runs to the outside. He's not clearing anybody out. I mean, he's pulling a linebacker.
Yeah,
with him.
maybe he's keeping the safety deep.
Awful.
I don't know what the play is.
Reminds me of Atlanta a couple years ago when on fourth down the Buccaneers ran 4 vertical routes.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
you know. Anyway, sorry.
But here's the thing.
We should have started the podcast with this. Damn it.
I think that the thing
people stuck around got a treat. I guess.
Yeah.
I think with Jameis though. You can also look at that throw he tried to force to Chris Godwin when Mike Evans, I think, was more open in the end zone.
Yes. Yes.
In the red zone.
And he almost threw an interception in the red zone. I mean, in the end zone. That was very fortunate. That
I also think it's just very difficult to judge somebody in a vacuum like that. Like, you don't know what the progressions are. So, like, if Mike is not the progression.
A rookie quarterback who can't throw had a higher completion percentage than a fourth-year quarterback.
That's true.
I'm judging Jameis Winston on that performance.
Yeah,
I am.
Jameis, at this stage of the game, has got to be better than what he was.
And if you want to be a franchise quarterback, you've got to put this damn team on your back. Now, has he been neutered? Abso-freaking-lutely.
Yeah, you've been on that
he has been.
Train mark.
I said that. Why are you saying this? How is it on Jameis then?
I said that. You guys go back and listen to the podcast.
You got
to
rebel.
When they put Jameis back in, and I said, I don't know how many games Jameis Winston can win being a game manager, and that's what they've tried to turn him into. That's what they're trying to turn him into. That's not Jameis.
Well, the interceptions and fumbles are down.
Well, great. And the results are Dirk's getting fired.
Right.
The end result is the same. Dirk's getting fired, and Jameis may be playing elsewhere next year.
Well, I think Jameis will be here next year, but he'll have to deal with another coach and offensive coordinator and quarterback.
You know I'm critical of Jameis, but I thought
– I know, and you know I tend to
that game, give Jameis the benefit of the doubt. Jameis was so far down the list of guys whose fault that was.
When you watch the All-22 on
that. Buccaneer fans, what do you think? Listen to the podcast. Comment below. We want to hear what your thoughts are.
All righty, for Tampa Bay Trey, or Tampa or Christmas Trey, whatever he goes by, for Sco Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook, and we'll see you later in the week with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out. Boop.